is Once for All, where Jude 3 says, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Listen in as the faith held by believers of all times is now delivered to you.
Times in life which you reach certain milestones, and one of those is the high school graduation, where you walk across that stage in cap and gown and receive diploma in hand, and maybe at the end throw your hat up into the air in celebration that you have accomplished this milestone. But what do you do after that? Many of our high school graduates will be heading off to college next fall, and what does that mean for their Christian faith? What is a Christian young person going to college, what should they be concerned about and what should they be aware of? Thanks for tuning into this edition of Once for All. It is great to have you with us. We are talking about Christianity in college. If you want to chime in with a comment or question, we can give you a shot at asking a hard question to our guest today. The toll-free number is 1-844-51-FAITH, 1-844-51-FAITH. You can also send me an email, which I'll read live on the air, deliveredonceforall@gmail.com, deliveredonceforall@gmail.com. My guest is Pastor Dan Silsley. He's pastor of Wittenberg Lutheran Chapel in Grand Forks, North Dakota, where he works in campus ministry. Pastor Silsley, welcome back to Once for All.
Good morning. It's good to be with you. I like how you challenge the listeners to ask hard questions.
That's right.
Thanks for that.
No easy softballs for our guests today. Well, let's talk about the Christian who has been going to church Sunday after Sunday, have learned the scriptures and maybe even the catechism or whatever stage someone might be in their station in Christianity, that they now go off to college. What's one of the most surprising things that a Christian young person might find as they go off to college?
I suppose it probably depends on so many things could be a factor, what their upbringing was in the home, what college they've chosen to go to. Every college has its own kind of personality, what their living situation is in college. You know, all these things play into what the most surprising thing might be. But your typical, undergraduate who's just starting, a freshman who is living in the dorms, perhaps the most surprising thing is knowing how to handle all of this newfound independence, that now they're sort of away from mom and dad, they're setting out on their own, and all this responsibility, and maybe it might be surprising to them of just how much freedom they actually have now, and that can be a challenging thing for some, that can be a wonderful thing for others, and everyone sort of handles that differently. But it might actually surprise them that they're so free now, to use that language.
Well, given your response, let's back up a little bit and talk about choosing a college. Now, of course, I think there's many aspects to consider when choosing a college. There's the academics, whether they offer the degree program in the area that you want to study. Maybe athletics is important to someone. And, there's big financial decisions in this as well. But give us some advice on the side of spiritual care. What questions should a young person be asking when choosing a college in considering their spiritual life?
I like to think of the college experience for the Christian, especially as an opportunity. Could we put it this way? There's actually there's a vocation of college student. There's this small part of our life. If you choose to go to college, there's a small part of our life where our vocation is primarily to be a university student, and it's different from being a pre-K through 12 student. Now you're on to higher education where you're pursuing your career, hopefully. You're exploring different things. You're trying to figure out what your skills really might be, what skills you need to work on. And so I like to think of the college student as fulfilling a vocation. And that's a good thing for a Christian to keep in mind, because it sort of frames the way that we approach these 4, 5, maybe 6 years of the university. That we are here preparing to serve our neighbor in some given occupation or vocation, that we're here to pursue what is good and true and beautiful, that we're here to serve God and our neighbor with our minds, you know. And it's a very unique experience. It's an experience you don't get maybe more than once in a lifetime, you know. And so for the Christian, our spirituality certainly comes into that. And so we need to recognize that there are going to be challenges to the Christian confession, probably more so than before in the high school experience. There are going to be challenges from other students. There's going to be challenges maybe from professors, depending on which college you go to. There's going to be peer influence, you know. There's going to be challenges that way. How do we live out the Christian confession in college? So when we're looking at a college as a Christian, it's not only what programs do they offer, what degrees do they offer, am I going to get a lot of scholarships? Those are important things. But another equally important thing is, where am I going to receive spiritual care in college? Because that's the easiest thing to go by the wayside. And so in all of our preparation, one of the most important things should be, is there a faithful campus ministry that I can get involved in? Is there a local church that maybe does outreach to the campus that I can get involved in, so that I can be fed with God's word and sacraments during this very challenging and exciting and transformative time in my life?
I'm interested in this notion of the vocation of the Christian college student, but I want to come back to that. As a young person is maybe graduating here in the next few weeks and has a few months off before packing up the car and heading off to school, what are some things that a college student can, or an upcoming college student, a high school graduate, to prepare for college?
All kinds of things, I suppose. Hopefully they've prepared before now. hopefully they've visited the place that they're going to attend college. Hopefully they've met maybe their roommate that they're going to room with or wherever they're going to be living. They can prepare by praying. I mean, praying that as they enter into this new venture in life, that the Lord would keep them steadfast in His word, you know, that the Lord would keep them from temptation, that the Lord would give them wisdom in their studies and love for their neighbors. There's all kinds of practical things, I suppose, making sure that you don't, call your mom once a week if you can, because they like that. those practical things are important, I suppose, yeah.
Now, I want you to take us through the first week of college, some of the things that someone might experience in that first week. When I did an internship in college ministry, I remember at the University of Oklahoma, there was, I forgot what they called it, but it was right after freshman orientation ended, and they kind of let the students out on this courtyard. And then out on this courtyard was a table for every single student activities group to have a chance, like a booth, to appeal their club to incoming freshmen. And I remember being struck by this, because the freshman feels like, boy, all these people want me. All of these clubs want my attention, want my time, want my presence. And there's probably something a little rewarding about that. Oh, look how many people are interested in me. And some of those first choices, how you get involved with your time, will maybe set your schedule and your priorities even for the next 4 years. So tell us about the first week of college.
Yeah, so you arrive on campus, and it's like a whirlwind of excitement. I mean, and it is exciting. We shouldn't, you know, it's a good thing. It's a new chapter in life, and it's exciting, and we should take that in. But at the same time, yeah, like you said, usually I know here at the University of North Dakota, it's like it's before classes even start. They have their student activities fair. And it's like you said, they, you know, I mean, there's tables everywhere with free stuff to hand out and information and sign up sheets. And every organization is trying to get as many people involved as they can. And perhaps the thing to keep in mind is that all organizations are not created equal. I mean, there's going to be service organizations there. There's going to be frats and sororities that are there, not all of which are, you know, bad, but not all of which are good either. There are going to be lots of religious organizations there trying to get especially the freshmen involved, because, you know, getting the freshmen involved is, you want to get people involved as freshmen, because if you don't get them as freshmen, then you're probably not going to get them for a couple years. So you have all these organizations, and in the first week of college, it looks like you have all of this time, too. I mean, you have all this freedom, and you haven't gotten into your classes really yet. You don't know what that schedule is going to be like. You haven't really hammered that out. Maybe you haven't started a job at all if you're going to be working. And so it seems like you have all this time and all these organizations that you can put your time into, and maybe you just want to sign up for as many things as possible. And what you can end up doing is overextending yourself. And just in the freshman year, when you're going through so many changes, you don't want to be having to be shuffling all kinds of extra volunteer stuff, you know, extra service organizations or extra commitments. You know, wait a little bit. You do have some time. Wait to see how your schedule shapes up, and then maybe get involved in more things. But maybe at first just start with a couple. When it comes to the Christian looking for an organization to get involved in, of course, we want to look for things that are in line with our Christian confession. And when we're looking for a church to be part of, or a Christian ministry to be part of, to be fed, there are certain questions we need to ask about that, too. And I don't know if we need to take a break, but we can talk about that after the break.
We do need to take a break, and we will talk about that after the break. Stay tuned. We'll be back with Pastor Silsey right after this.
The phone lines are now open. Call toll-free 1-844-51-FAITH. That's 1-844-51-FAITH.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. No indictment for the president, as his attorney is saying that special counsel Robert Mueller has told the president's legal team he will follow Justice Department guidance and not seek an indictment against the president. The precedent that federal prosecutors cannot indict a sitting president is laid out in a 1999 Justice Department memo. A study released today suggests that many women with a common and aggressive form of breast cancer that is treated with Herceptin can get by with 6 months of the drug instead of the usual 12. That greatly reduces the risk of heart damage that the drug supposedly can cause. A Texas inmate who insisted he was not involved in a San Antonio killing more than 14 years ago was executed. Juan Edward Castillo receiving lethal injection a couple of hours ago for the fatal shooting of a 19-year-old man that testimony showed was carried out by Castillo and several friends on a secluded road. This is SRN News.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
An article in the online publication Reason hit home with me. I've dealt with chronic, sometimes fist-clenching pain for over a decade. Every day is a struggle. Changes in weather or overexertion can make for some very challenging days. But I'm more fortunate than many. Each year, the government puts up roadblocks to legitimately needed pain meds. The so-called doctors who prescribe lethal doses for assisting assisted suicide face no such regulation or oversight and enjoy greater legal protections than legitimate pain doctors. Advocates of assisted suicide invoke the image of patients suffering unbearable pain as reason to pass their laws. But how soon will chronic pain sufferers living under such decrees be denied insurance coverage for pain meds, yet offer lethal prescriptions?
Like us on Facebook at Life Issues and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
And we're back on Once For All. We're talking about the Christian's college experience. We're talking with Pastor Dan Silsley. He's pastor of Wittenberg Lutheran Chapel in Grand Forks, North Dakota, where he is in campus ministry. And we're talking about that first week of college. And Pastor Silsley, I'm wondering about some of the pressures. Let's first talk about some of the social pressures that go on. You know, you show up as a freshman. Maybe you don't know anyone else on the entire campus. That's how it was when I went to college. And you're picking your friends for the very first time. And what are some pressures that a Christian young person should be aware of on a social level?
I mean, I think, you know, sometimes we think about the stereotypical college experience, and that's a stereotype for a reason, right? I mean, stereotypes do have kernels of truth in them. And so, of course, I mean, a lot of the social pressures that these 18 and 19-year-olds are going to face are things like partying, right? So maybe your roommate met somebody and they invited them to a party, and so your roommate says, hey, come along with me, I don't want to go alone. And you find yourself at a, you know, frat party or something where there's beer freely flowing and maybe drugs happening. I mean, all kinds of things like that. And so I mean, it's strange that that's a stereotype in college, and yet people, Christian college students can sometimes find themselves in these situations and be surprised that this is going on, you know. But it is something to be aware of, that that is what many people consider essential to the college experience, even though it really does not have to be. So that can be something. I mean, there's going to be pressures to get involved with different religious organizations and to try out maybe attending different kind of services and that kind of stuff. And so you have to be careful with those kinds of things. Lots of organizations want to have you involved. But I think the typical drugs, alcohol, and maybe the sexual things too happening on campus are probably the biggest things to be aware of, the pressures that are going to be put upon the new freshmen.
Talk to us now about some of the academic pressures. Now, certainly much of education is just that, but education does have a particular worldview, and at times, or in certain topics, that worldview can come as a contradiction to the Christian worldview. So what should a incoming college student be aware of?
So the academic pressure, I mean, so part of it is simply figuring out how to be a student, you know, in the university. Part of it is learning how to organize your schedule and be responsible with your time, and there are those kinds of pressures. But then you also bring up an interesting thing as well, which is especially in the public university, there are going to be certain, how could we put it, there's a certain mood in the air, a certain kind of milieu of probably most likely a humanistic, secular, progressive, liberal worldview that is either going to blatantly inform the teaching that's going on, or if not blatantly, it's certainly going to be sort of under an undercurrent in everything. And you're especially going to see this sort of thing in like the soft sciences, like psychology, sociology, but also in the hard sciences as well. This idea of man at the center of everything, who can save the world by progressing and advancing And a lot of that is going to be contrary to the Christian confession. And so, yeah, again, the college freshman going in, maybe the Christian college freshman who has believed and confessed, for example, you know, the creation account in Genesis and has gladly confessed that, now goes into the science classroom and might be challenged on that pretty hard, harshly. And so maybe should prepare and sort of strengthen that part of their confession before getting into class, not to challenge necessarily, but to be able to give a good answer, a good reply when that is challenged. So different things like that are going to inform how things are taught there at the university.
Let's go back to something you were talking about in the first segment, that is the vocation of the Christian college student. Now, I remember when I was in college and I was learning some of the Christian doctrines, I heard about the doctrine of vocation. That is the idea that God has placed us in stations in life to serve the neighbor. And I remember thinking, oh, well, I guess that just doesn't apply to me because I don't have a job. I don't have the opportunity to serve my neighbor. I'm just going to school. What's the vocation of the college student?
Yeah, this is something that I would never have said when I was attending college. It wasn't even on my radar. I would never have articulated it this way. But my wife and I are homeschooling our children and doing so in a classical model. And this has really gotten me thinking about what is the vocation of the college student. And the classical model of education is very, very big on the pursuit of what is good and true and beautiful, and you don't have to be a Christian to pursue these things, but that we pursue these things and serve God with our minds, so that we can serve our neighbors with our minds and with our service. And I think that's a really good way to think about the college student, because like you said, when you're in college, you're just thinking like, yeah, this is just a hoop I have to go through in order to get a job. So I just needed to get the work done so that I can finally get out and pay my student loans off and maybe, you know, survive in this world kind of thing. But the college student, again, has a unique opportunity to explore and serve God and the neighbor with their mind. And you're in a time when you can ask questions and really dig into things and really grow in wisdom, and all of it is eventually so that we can serve our neighbor in this world, so that the college student can now find maybe a greater meaning in their work as a college student, because they know eventually this is going to be in service to those that God puts in my midst later in life. And to me, that sort of fills the college experience with a new vigor, you know, that this is now me getting to just dump myself into my education and enjoy it and really find fulfillment in it, and then take that out into the world and serve those in my midst. That's way better than just going to college so I can get drunk on the weekends and maybe have a good time and then go out and get a job later so I can survive. So I think the Christian college student can take this perspective, that this is my time to just really grow intellectually and to be stretched also that I can serve my neighbor in the end.
It also gives us a context that that we're not going to class and studying and taking the class necessarily to get a good grade, that I can, you know, say that I graduated with a 3.5 GPA or something like that, although that might have a benefit somewhere. But that the point is that I would learn to be able to serve my neighbor, and I want to serve my neighbor well. So even if that means I get a B or even a C, so long as I am able to take what was given to me at school, at college, and apply it to a way of serving my neighbor, then God be praised.
Yeah, that's right. And I think it also helps us consider that maybe college is not for everybody, and that's okay. That's why the doctrine of vocation is such a cool thing, that Maybe it is not your vocation to go to college. Maybe your vocation is to go and get a job after high school and serve your neighbor that way, and that's just fine too. God puts us in different stages and different vocations than other people, but the same goal is in mind. That is that we serve the neighbor with the gifts God gives us.
You know, one of the things that is often talked about is how difficult it is in finding people who are good at the trades. You know, so some people graduate high school and they maybe go to a trade school, learn a great trade, and we need great people in the trades to serve us. You know, if I can't find an electrician, I'm in big trouble, and so I need someone to fill those vocations as well.
I think it's interesting that we sort of pressure high schoolers to go to college. It's just assumed that you're going to be going to university, and so they sort of think, yeah, that's basically what we should do. So then they apply to colleges and they have no idea what they might want to do, you know. And so here they are paying all this money to go receive a liberal arts education, which is fine, but they don't have any direction. They don't have any clue sort of what they want to do with it at the end. And then, you know, maybe they get out and they don't even do anything that their degree applies to, which is, again, pretty common for a lot of people, I think. But maybe we can back that up and we can say, you know, you don't have to go to college. It's okay. Like you said, we need these trade positions, and those are just as important as some of the other positions that are out there. And so I'd rather have a college student entering the university with some kind of idea where they want to go in life rather than just starting just because that's what you're supposed to do, go to college because that's what you do. And then what do they end up doing? They sort of flounder and get involved with the things we were talking about earlier, because they just don't have any direction, you know. So if we can think about this as a vocation, that I'm in this to serve my neighbor, that sort of brings a focus and a direction to what we're doing here in the university.
I'd also like to talk about something you mentioned earlier, that when a college student goes to college, this is the first time they're, you know, maybe not living with mom and dad. They're free to make their own choices with their time. If that means they're up until 4 a.m. watching movies and eating Cheetos, then, you know, no one's there to tell them to go to bed or anything like that. But there's also this matter of spiritual influence, and I have found in many circumstances, and I don't wonder if this isn't even an exclusive rule of thumb, that when a person goes to college just because of the factor of, you know, being out on their own, this also happens to be the time that a person starts to look at the beliefs that they've been taught for the first time in a critical way. And then that is to say, is what has been handed to me about religion, about God, about spirituality, is what has been handed to me something that I am going to truly believe and continue on, or am I going to explore other ideas and other practices? Could you talk a little bit about your experience in this aspect of college Christian life?
I think if we back up just one step, you raise an important challenge for those who are involved in teaching the faith. So, for example, parents, pastors, those two especially, I frankly think we as parents and pastors need to do a better job of preparing our students for the critical challenges they will receive once they leave the house, you know. I think too often we've sort of just taught we've taught students sort of the answers they should know, which is good. They need that content, but we haven't sort of gone through any sort of thought experiments with them of like, Well, what if someone challenges that confession in this way? How would we respond to that, you know? Or what if they come and challenge it this way? How can we think about that biblically? We don't often do that kind of education. I think we need to do more of it so that when they do finally get to college, this isn't a new experience for them. This is the first time they're hearing these challenges, because they get to college then. And like my own experience, I grew up a pastor's son. You know, I was well catechized. I got to college and I got involved with Campus Crusade. And even as a well catechized Christian entering college, you know, I had some challenges from other fellow Christians that I had a difficult time answering, not to mention challenges from the atheists, you know, that I might encounter, that I really had no idea how to sort of respond to those kinds of challenges. And so it can be a really unsettling time, right? Because this is something that this is just what you've known your whole life. And now someone is coming with a criticism that is actually maybe well-founded in your, you know, it makes sort of intellectual sense. And so you're sort of, what do I do? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I should look into this other religion or this other worldview or whatever. And in college, that sort of multiply that by 50, and it can be a really overwhelming experience. And so that's why I think before you even get on the college campus, you need to have in place where sort of your home base is going to be, you know, where is the place where you are going to be receiving faithfully Christ's gifts of word and sacrament to nourish you and sustain you for when those attacks and criticisms and temptations do come.
Excellent. Now let's take a break, and then when we get back, we'll talk about how that what very thing that you said applies to our baptismal identity. Stay tuned. You're on Once for All.
The phone lines are now open. Call toll-free 1-844-51-FAITH. That's 1-844-51-FAITH.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. 1 year after the special counsel investigation into alleged Russian collusion began, President Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, is urging Robert Mueller to wrap up the probe. The president says his administration's enforcement of immigration law has resulted in the expulsion of many violent criminals who had been in the U.S. illegally. Mr. Trump is denouncing California's refusal to cooperate in those efforts. A business acquaintance of the woman who was killed in this week's Southern California office building explosion is now under arrest on suspicion of possessing an unregistered destructive device. Plans for more evacuations in the works as Hawaii's Kilauea volcano continues to erupt. On Wall Street, stocks have turned positive. The Dow now up 11 points. The S&P ahead 3 points. More details at srnnews.com.
This is Sacred Meditations. For today's prayer, we call for the Creator Spirit to come with His aid. This from the hymn attributed to Rabanus Maurus from the 9th century. Creator Spirit, by whose aid the world's foundations first were laid, come visit every humble mind, come pour your joys on humankind. From sin and sorrow set us free, may we your living temples be. Thank you for making Sacred Meditations part of your day. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/sacredmeditations.
Time for Table Talk Extras with Pastor Brian Wolfmuller.
You're the man. I've heard people say that when someone does something well, makes some amazing play on the basketball court or something like that. Now, no one's ever said it to me, of course, but I've seen it there. You're the man. It means you've done well, you've done right. But in the Bible, it means the exact opposite. Remember the story of David and Bathsheba? How David, instead of fighting his home, and he sees Bathsheba bathing on her roof, he calls her to himself and breaks the sixth commandment, commits adultery with her, and she turns up pregnant. Then David plots to cover up the sixth commandment by having Uriah come home, but in his faithfulness to the king, he doesn't. So David sends Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, back to the war with his own death sentence in his hand, and as often happens in this world, the breaking of the fifth commandment follows the breaking of the sixth commandment. But the Lord doesn't want David to remain in his sin, so he sends to him Nathan the prophet. And Nathan tells him this story. There's a certain rich man who had everything he wanted, all sorts of flocks and sheep and everything like this. And when a man comes to visit him, instead of killing one of his own flock, he goes to his neighbor who has one sheep that he loves like a pet. And he takes that little lamb and he slaughters that for his friend. And David is outraged. Who is this man that I might put him to death? And Nathan says to David, "You are the man. You're the man that's done this. You're the man that sinned against your neighbor and against God." And David, crushed by the law, repents and hears, and this is always the surprise, the absolution of his sins in the words of the prophet Nathan. "The Lord also has put away your sin." We rejoice that we are these men who have our sins put away by our Lord Jesus Christ.
This has been a production of Table Talk Radio. For more information, visit tabletalkradio.org.
College experience for the Christian is what we're talking about today. Welcome back to Once for All. We're on the line with Pastor Dan Silsley. And Pastor Silsley, before the break, you were talking about Christians being trained in sort of this this thought of how would I defend, or how would I think of what I've been taught and what's been delivered to me from the scriptures against this attack or that attack. And I know sometimes pastors like to talk about a baptismal identity. What are they referring to with those words, and how does it apply in college?
Yeah, you know, we have a wonderful hymn in our church, "God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It, I Am Baptized into Christ." And I think that that should be the overarching sort of reality that's in the college student's mind all the time, and not just the college student. I mean, that's for all Christians. Our identity as God's baptized children is who we are. I mean, he has said this about us. And that should give us so much comfort in all sorts of circumstances. You know, before the break, I was talking about these challenges that we might receive as Christians in college, these criticisms. And I do want to say, we shouldn't sort of avoid those necessarily. One of the things that bolstered my own Lutheran confession was having to defend it to those who were not part of the Lutheran confession, and it drove me always back to the scriptures, and it made me think and consider why Lutherans might confess what we confess according to the Bible, and I could go back and say this and confess it to my friends, and they would maybe bring up a different aspect, and it would drive me back to the scriptures. And the reason we can do that and do it without fear is because we are baptized into Christ. You know, we don't need to fear the criticism that comes. We can actually use it as an opportunity to learn and grow and be driven back even more to the scriptures where God has spoken. And so a baptized child of God in college, that is a blessed thing. And we should rejoice in that baptismal identity. Now, as baptized people, that means we also seek out God's gifts where he gives them. And it also means that we live lives in accord with what his word teaches. So so there is also a reminder there that that we don't need to go find our identity in the latest weekend party or the next one-night stand. Those aren't things in accord with a baptized child of God. It also means that we don't find our identity in the, you know, the sort of secular, humanist, progressive worldview. That is not who God says we are. He says we are his children who are forgiven in Christ and who live as children of the light. And so all of that sort of is bound up in the Christian college experience, or it should be. And it needs to be fed. And so, again, that's why I keep on stressing before you even set foot on the campus to start classes, find that church where you will be fed with God's word and will be fed faithfully.
Oftentimes when we think about the fourth commandment, we think that we should honor father and mother. And so in college, you move away from father and mother and live in the dorms. Are Christians freed from the fourth commandment while they're in college?
Oh, of course not. I mean, it is interesting to me. This was not my experience in college, but I am noticing that a lot of college students, while they want to claim they are free from their parents are still paying for an awful lot of stuff for them. You know, so they want to claim the adult status, but they don't want to live the adult life. You know, if I could put it that way. Now, my dad and mom, they were still very helpful through college, but they made it very clear that if I wanted to go to college, I was paying for it myself, and so they just kind of sent me on my way when I was 18, and that was really good for me. But I think the Christian college student needs to recognize they're not a kid anymore, and it really bothers me when people refer to them as college kids. They're adults, and they need to start behaving as adults and acting like adults. But they're also children, just like I'm still a child because I have parents, right? And so we still honor our father and mother in college, and maybe especially if they're still paying for things for us. But this also bleeds out into other authorities, you know, that as a college student who is a Christian, if I'm in a class with a professor, then I am to honor that professor, right? And I may disagree with that professor. That professor may be saying things that are against my faith, but I am still given by God to honor that professor and respect that professor, do the work that that professor expects, and do it as well as I can. The same thing goes for other authorities like the police, right? I mean, and the laws of the land. So as a college student, I'm not, you know, sort of exempt from the laws of the land because I'm out on my own now. I should abide by things, by laws like the drinking age, right? If I'm not of legal age to drink, I shouldn't be drinking. If things are illegal according to the law of the land, I don't do them. So this fourth commandment is bigger than just honoring our father and mother. It's honoring, respecting, cherishing all of the authority that God has put us under, including on the college campus.
I know one thing that bothers a lot of Christians sometimes is when they're studying those subject matters you mentioned earlier that maybe come from, say, questions. How do you advise a Christian to proceed as they're being tested on the knowledge of the material, and yet the knowledge that they are supposed to give for a correct answer is contrary to their beliefs?
Yeah, this can be a really tough thing, you know, because you have, on the one hand, the matter of conscience, that you want to give the good confession. And then on the other hand, you know that your grades may suffer because of it. So, I mean, maybe one answer is that that is just the cross that the Christian university student has to bear sometimes. That as Christians, when we make the good confession, it will bring a certain amount of suffering to us, right? Jesus promises this in the New Testament. At the same time, I don't think that we have to go out of our way to try to sort of poke the bear, if you will, you know? I mean, I don't have to go start fights with the science professor who believes in evolution. I can answer to the best of my ability the questions that he asks, and I would hope that a professor who is worth his salt is able to sort of have the kind of conversation where you can say, well, you know, this is what I believe and confess, and here's how it's backed up with science. And a good college professor, I would think, would be able to say, interesting. Let's talk about that. Let's, you know, have a conversation about that. And maybe we can talk about the grade you got on your test because of the way you answered. And let's sort of have that conversation, you know. Now, that's not always going to happen because college professors are incredibly busy and have lots of students. But it's a hard, that can be a really hard thing for the Christian college student because they don't want their grades to suffer. But at the same time, we want to give a good confession, you know.
Let's talk about confessing the faith in college. How is it that we can, as Christian college students, confess what God has handed to us, especially to that friend that maybe he needs to hear it so badly, or about you know, finding that church that would be in the confession to which we ourselves hold. Would you talk about confessing the faith in college?
Yeah. College students, I don't know how I could put this. I know this was my experience in college, that I constantly battled a burdened conscience, you know? And I think a lot of college students are underneath constantly fighting a burdened conscience. And I suppose a lot of people are. This isn't just unique to college students. But, you know, in a time when you're sort of out there exploring and trying new things and messing up a whole bunch and making mistakes and committing sin, it really bears down on the conscience. And it's only worsened when you're being taught maybe in class that you know, these things that are making your conscience burdened are actually no big deal. Or maybe your friends are saying, well, it's no big deal, but you feel like they are. I mean, your conscience is telling you that these are not good things. And so it can become a very despairing and lonely place sometimes when your conscience is constantly burdened, but you don't have anywhere to sort of unload it, you know? And so the Christian in college, who is a friend to people, can really be a blessing in that way, that they can, you know, be a friend and say, you know what, I know where you can unload your conscience, to use that terminology. We might say, I know where you can confess your sin, you know, come and confess your sin and be forgiven in Christ. Come and meet the pastor that I know and who takes care of me spiritually. And that's how we can, that's one way that we can confess the faith as college students, is by pointing our friends to where the gifts of Christ are being distributed and showing them and telling them, this is actually a good thing. It will actually, you'll actually make you like it, you know? And then also confessing the faith by being fed the faith every single Sunday. Again, this has kind of become a cliche or a stereotype, but it's still true that a lot of college students get to college and they're just like, I don't want to go to church anymore. I hated my parents getting me up every Sunday, and I'm not going to do it anymore. And what they don't realize they're doing, I think, is cutting themselves off from the most important nourishment that they need in college, the gifts of God's word and sacrament. And so part of confessing the faith in college is by getting your rear end out of bed on Sunday, even when you don't feel like it, maybe, and going to receive those gifts of Christ, because even though it may not feel like it at the time, you need them so desperately. And to cut yourself off from them is one of the most foolish things that you can do in college.
Every campus is different. Every church is different. Every campus ministry is different, but tell us a little bit about what you do in Grand Forks, North Dakota. What are some of the activities that go on with campus ministry, and what's the main point? What's the main focus of campus ministry for you?
Yeah, now I've not even been here a year yet, and so I'm still getting my feet under me. But Wittenberg Lutheran Chapel is, you know, our sort of tagline, if you will, is that we are a cross-focused, Christ-centered campus ministry where people will always hear of their sin and always hear of their Savior. And so everything that we do is centered and flows out of God's gifts of word and sacrament. So we have our Sunday morning divine service every Sunday, where we receive the absolution of our sin. We receive the body and blood of Christ. We hear of what Christ has done for us. Every Sunday we have a Bible study. This past year we went through Luther's Small Catechism, which was a review for a lot of the students, but we had wonderful discussion on the Small Catechism. We also do a weekly Bible study in the midweek, usually on Wednesdays. And this past year we went through the Gospel of Matthew. We have had a few social events where we can get together and just sort of enjoy one another's company. This coming fall, we're hoping to be more on campus to try to host a couple more Bible studies on campus rather than maybe at the chapel. And just looking for different ways that we can reach out with the gospel of Christ to all of these college students whom he loves and who he has died for. So that they too can know the love and forgiveness that he has won for them. So that's kind of what Wittenberg Lutheran Chapel's all about, is proclaiming Christ on campus.
Well, that sounds fantastic. And keep up the good work and confess Christ on campus, not only for those Christian college students coming to your place of worship, but also for those on campus. And thanks for taking the time to come on and teach us about what to be thinking about as our kids head off to college.
Thanks for having me. Good to be with you.
And thanks for listening to this edition of Once for All.
This has been Once for All. You can contact the show by sending an email, deliveredonceforall@gmail.com. You can listen again to this show or any other episodes by visiting onceforallradio.com. Until next time, stand firm in the faith, once delivered to the saints.